verse we started out with Sunday morning, and I talked about who do you trust. That was the title of my message, Who Do You Trust? And, you know, we read in Jeremiah where it says, cursed is the man who trusts in man, and then blessed is the man who trusts in God. I'm not going to go back and read those because I got so many more scriptures. But anyway, Mark 11:22, Jesus was explaining to them when they asked how the fig tree was withered up so quick. And Jesus, the first verse or the in verse 22, when he was answering them, the first thing he said was, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And that word have is to hold, and to hold to your faith in God. And I'm telling you something, we've got to hold on to our faith in God. And we need to have faith, or that word faith also means trust or confidence or assurance. And so we need to have trust in God. And I'm going to kind of minister to you tonight on how you can develop that confidence in God, or that trust in God, or that faith in God. And it's a real simple thing, and it's not hard to do. And all of us need to develop in that area. See, there's a lot of people, they live in worry and fret and fear, because they're not developing in their confidence to God, in God, or their trust in God. I'm not saying you're not tempted to worry, you're not tempted to fear, you're not tempted to have all these things, because we all are, using on a daily basis. But I'm telling you, there's a way to live worry-free. When I say worry-free, I'm talking about you not taking the worries. You're not taking on worry in your life. Fear-free, you're not taking on the fear. And because the devil will always, as long as we're on the earth, he's going to be after us to get us out from trusting God and from believing God. And so he said, just have faith in God. Sounds pretty simple, don't it? Everybody say it with me, have faith in God. Man, that you can't get no simpler than that. Just have faith in God. How many believes in God? We all in this house believe in God. We believe He's our Father. We believe that we're His children. And so all we have to do is just have faith in God. Sometimes you might tell yourself that. When you're kind of facing a situation in life, you said, now hang on, Randy, have faith in God. Come on, you're at a call. Have you ever talked to yourself? Well, listen, you need to talk to yourself when it comes to the Word of God. You need to call yourself by name sometimes and say, okay, come on, we're going to settle that down. We're going to trust in God. We're not going to worry about this, nor we're going to fret over this. We're going to trust God. God's our source. He said He'd take care of us. He's our provider. He's our healer. We're not going to worry about this. Just like that testimony Ronnie just gave to Eddie Pettigo. And I'm telling you, I know they were battling some pretty major thoughts and stuff when he was diagnosed with that and such as that. But we just kept encouraging and kept praying for him. And all of you and Ronnie and them was ministering to him and sharing that. I'm telling you, you got to keep yourself in faith. You got to keep yourself in faith. Let me tell you why you have to keep yourself in faith, or you need to. It's because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And that's found in Hebrews 11:6. So He tells us you have to have faith in God. And listen to me, there's so many times we drop the ball, or seems like we've dropped the ball, but praise God, we can always pick it back up and run with it. Amen? And so anyway, I want to look at Isaiah chapter 26, and we're going to talk about just a little while tonight on how we can have faith in God, or keep our faith in God. And we understand faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the Word of God. And so you're not going to develop your faith. Let me just say this real quick and throw this out for you. You can't pray for your faith to increase and have it increase. The only way the Bible says your faith is going to increase is by the Word of God, hearing the Word. Because the Word is faith food. Is faith food. And you can't, your faith is not going to grow beyond your knowledge of God, or your knowledge of the Word of God. And so you gotta, first of all, you're going to have to be hungry for the Word. If you're not hungry for it, you know it, first of all, you won't even get in it. If you're hungry for it, you're going to get in it. Sometimes I will eat when I'm not hungry. I know none of y'all do. But I will, just I'm not hungry at all, but I eat just because I want something and I like it and it tastes good, so I eat. Amen? And so, you know, the thing about it is, I don't think if we get hungry for the Word of God, there's never a point that we don't want no more of it. When you get hungry for it, you can just indulge in it and always learn and always grow. The Bible says, I think he was talking to the Thessalonian church, he said, your faith increaseth. Your faith increaseth. So your faith can increase, and we need it to increase. Listen, when there comes a time, I said this the other day, that when we're young in the Lord, then, you know, things happen for us kind of just miraculously. God just blesses. Then as we start growing, then we have to start standing. We have to learn to stand. Because, in fact, the Bible says when you've done all to stand, you just got to stand. Amen? And so we've got to have standing power, and faith will give us that standing power. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says this, the you here is insinuating God. God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Because he trusts in God, it says, trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. The New Living Translation says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. He said he'll keep us in peace. Listen, here's the deal I have found out. You're not in perfect peace if you're always struggling and worrying and living fretting and in fear. You're not got that perfect peace. But he said, if you'll just get your mind or your thoughts on me, he said, he'll keep you in what kind of peace? Said perfect. That sounds like pretty good peace. And I tell you, it's nice to have peace when it seems like all hell's broke loose against you, isn't it? And you just sit there smiling, thinking, glory be to God. God's on my side. If God be for me, who can be against me? Glory be to God. But you know, you got to develop in that. Now, we read in Matthew, talked about don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Basically, I'm just paraphrasing. Don't worry about anything. And the Bible says, take no thought saying. In the King James, that's what it says. The New King James says, don't worry about anything. The King James says, don't take no thought saying. And so sometimes we pick up our thoughts and they become a part of our lives because we don't cast them down. We pick them up and start declaring them and make them ours. And so we've got to learn that the Word of God has to be more important than those thoughts that are trying to rob you of your blessing. And so, Colossians, if you'll look over there real quick, Colossians, we'll run to the New Testament. And this is what I want to talk to y'all about trusting God and, developing in that. First of all, you got to get your mind on Him. You got to keep your mind on Him. In, Colossians 3, we're going to start reading with verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, I think that is so important to us having trust in God. Because he said, you got to set your mind on things where? Things above. Set your mind. Or we could say fix your mind. Isn't that what it said a while ago in the New Living Translation said, those whose thoughts are fixed upon Him? He says, you gotta fix your mind. And we know your mind, your thought processes and everything goes through there. But I'm telling you, your mind also works with your spirit. And so that's why he said you gotta renew your mind and you gotta set your affections or your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Listen, all these earthly things will bombard you, but if you've got a mindset, let me put it this way, a heavenly mindset, then you start viewing things totally different and you will also respond differently than the world would. Listen, I respond differently today than I did several years ago. Do y'all? So you start growing in God, you start responding differently. Your reaction to the devil's action is different than it might have been several years ago, maybe 7 months ago, or maybe a week or two ago. Why? Because we're constantly renewing our mind, and we're getting our mind set on the things that are above. I look at it like this. What's above sickness? Healing. What's above poverty and lack? Prosperity. And he says, you've got to fix your mind on that. In other words, to get your mind fixed, you have to go into meditation. And I'm not talking about and being some kind of monk out there somewhere. That's not what I'm talking about. But you've got to meditate in the Word of God. You've got to set your mind on things above. And some people say, well, you know, I'm kind of leery about that because I don't want to become so heavenly minded that I'm no earthly good. Because I've heard people say that. And now listen to there's wackos everywhere. There's wackos no matter what. There are people that take things to the extremes everywhere you go. But I always found out this. You're the only way you're going to be earthly good if you're spiritually minded. Or I'll put it this way. You'll be better in heaven, earthly in your earth walk if you're spiritually minded than you are if you're earthly minded. And so he said, you got to set your affections on things above. That's what one translation, or set your mind on things above and not on the things on the earth. Have you ever found yourself just wandering off and getting into something you wish, or thinking on things you think, where did that come from? Where did that come from? I'm telling you, the devil, he never lightens up too much when it comes to throwing stupid stuff to you. And he said, you got to renew your mind. You need to set your mind on things. You have to fix your mind. Sometimes you have to pull your mind back on. Amen. Have you ever had to pull your mind? Hold on now. We ain't thinking that we're not going down this pathway. Amen. Look in Psalms 1. Let's go all the way back to Psalms 1. I'm kind of easy to go running it like this. This will help us trust in God and keep our minds set on Him. It says verse 1, and I'm actually going to, for sake of time, I'm not going to read several translations. I'll just read one. I'm going to read the Amplified. It says, blessed, Psalms 1:1, blessed, happy, and Amplified, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man, listen to this, is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans, and purposes. Listen, you know, I have found this out, and don't get mad at me, but I found out there's some people who claim to be godly that give godless advice, ungodly advice. If you get advice from somebody, it needs to line up with the Word of God. It needs to line up. It needs to be something that's going to build you up. It's going to help you. It's going to edify you. Amen. It should minister grace to the hearers. Amen. And so he said, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So there's some counsel you have to put aside. It says, nor stands submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. Now listen, there's groups of people that we have to kind of, now we witness to them, we're light wherever we go, but we got to allow ourselves to be connected with God and hooked up with God instead of letting their advice sway us one way or the other. Listen, there's a lot of times you deal with people in the world, just like if you went to the doctor or something like that, and they start giving you this advice, and you know in your heart, that is not the advice I need. You may be telling this, I got to stick with the Word of God, and you've got to pull aside and say, listen, I know what the Bible says. I know who God is, and I'm going to rest assured that He's going to take care of this situation or whatever it might be. And we look at medical reports, but there's a lot of kinds of reports we get, and people will come and say, you ought to do this. It's kind of like Job's wife. When it looked like all hell had broke loose against him, done losing everything he had, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? Well, that was not godly advice. And he said, woman, you talk like a foolish woman. I'm telling you something. You got to realize there's some people just speak, don't get me wrong, will speak foolishly to you. And I think sometimes it's just a ploy of the devil. I think it's just the enemy using somebody to get to you, to get you to change your mind back to the way it was. And so we got to get fixed in God, and just renew our minds. But notice what verse 2 says. It says, but his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord. And on his law, the precepts and instructions and the teachings of God, or we would just say, and on his word, he said, his delight and desire are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his word, he habitually meditates, ponders, studies day by day and by night. He meditates, he ponders, he studies. Let me give you the different things the word meditate means. It means to murmur. Now, not in a negative way. You ever seen somebody there murmuring? There, most time when you say murmur, you think of a negative. I can't stand them. I don't like them. I don't know why they do this. I'm like that. Well, they're just murmuring. And you know, a lot of people in the Old Testament got in trouble for murmuring because they were murmuring bad way, huh? But he's talking about murmuring. Murmur is just speaking. It's basically just muttering the word. It's muttering the word. It's to murmur. It's to ponder. Has anybody ever said, if you're just sit there and you're just kind of looking like that and you're going, you're pondering some things. You're running some things around in your mind. Has anybody ever done that, or is it just me? I mean, you're just pondering. And sometimes you're pondering to a degree that you hear nobody else. You've been in your house, you're talking to, or somebody's been talking to you, they say, you ain't heard a word I've said. No, I'm pondering. It may not always be the word, but I'm pondering. Huh? Could be just pondering what I need to do outside. Huh? Pondering what I need to do here, go there, and do that. And you're just pondering, and you're pondering. And that's what part of what meditation means, is to ponder. Just sit and think about it. Isn't that the way you're supposed to read the word? You read something, you just sit and think, man, there's something in there I need. I want to get everything. I want to get all the nutrients out of there right now in Jesus' name. There's nothing wrong with that. It's to mutter. That's also just to speak the word. It's to roar. It's to speak, to study, to utter. And I always use this example because I know a lot of you that have been around cows or something. If you watch some old cows laying out in an old field, anybody ever watch some old cows, you wonder what they're chewing on? It's called a cud. Just chewing their cud.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but did you say roar?
Roar. That's what it says to mutter. Roar like something.
Roar.
If you want to roar. That's what it says. I'm just reading the definitions right out of the Hebrew. It is. Sometimes you will roar once you meditate long enough. You'll be like a lion. Amen? And so it's kind of like an old cow laying out there and just chewing. They just chew and chew and chew. And you know, they'll swallow it and burp it back up. It's kind of gross. But you know, don't gross out on me right now. And it's kind of like we do with the Word of God. When you're speaking, you're rolling that thing over in your spirit and your mind. You're just rolling it over, God. It's kind of like when you get a hold of Isaiah 53:5, where it says, Himself bore your infirmities, took your infirmities, bore your sicknesses and your diseases, and by stripes you're healed. How about if you just sit there for a while and chewed on that a while? Pondered it, thought about it, meditated on it. Just sit there, and that thing's rolling around in your mind. It's rolling around in your mind, and it'll drop down in your spirit and become what the Bible says, revelation. Revelation knowledge. When it gets down in your spirit, and it gets down to become revelation knowledge, then I believe it gets to the place where nothing can take it from you.
Amen.
Nothing can take it from you. In other words, you've got it. Have you ever got anything that I couldn't take it from you if I tried? You got it. The devil can't take it away from you if he tried. Why? Because you got it. Because listen to me, you got to have this thing cinched down or locked in. Because I'm telling you, if it's just loosely tied, huh? That's kind of like I've tied horses for, just kind of wrap the reins around something, just leave them like that. Next thing you know, they're out there grazing. You said, what happened? They was loosely tied. So they didn't stay where I put them. They were loosely tied. They wound up just pulling loose. And sometimes people's just got the words just kind of loosely tied. It's not fitting. It's not bound in them. It's not a revelation to them. It's something that they just think of every now and then they hear somebody say something about it. That's why you got to ponder it, because it's not enough for me to know it. You got to know it. If anything comes up, you've got to know it. You've got to have that alive and working on the inside of you. And he says you got to meditate in it. And it says he habitually meditates, ponders and studies by day and by night. Glory to God. You said, you mean you can meditate it at night? I tell you what, I've dreamed the word. I mean, I've dreamed on things like that. I'm talking about at night, I'm thinking, wow. Listen to what it said would happen to that man. He shall be like a firmly planted and tended by the strength. He will shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither. And everything he does, shall prosper and come to maturity. Who's he talking about? Somebody who meditates in the word day and night habitually. Make it a habit. I said making it a habit to hear the word of God. Say what? It's got to be coming in your ear gates and your eye gates, and it begins to be a part of your life, and it starts changing you. And that's when it says work out your salvation. Well, there's got to be salvation in you to be worked out. Now I'm telling you, salvation means healing, deliverance, and all those things like that. And so he said, a man that meditates in the word of God, everything he does will prosper. Well, isn't that a good thing, B? Everything you do, your job, everything you put your hand to prospers. Why? Because you're a meditator of the Word of God. You meditate in it day and night. Amen? I know we say this all the time, but we have preaching going on until, I don't know, actually, our TV kind of, y'all's TV kind of go off at night if it's on there too long. And so you'll wake up and it's just a thing on your screen, and the preaching, nobody's preaching because I don't understand that. But anyway, you have to, because of inactivity, praise God. I like it. Linda, of course, in our bed, every time we go to bed, we got that on there. And them preaching, the preachers will come on, I'm sitting, and all of a sudden something catches my ear, and I may be sleepy, but I set up, and I look, first of all, to see who's preaching. And then I can't go back, so I'm sitting there listening to it, and just listening to it, and I'm thinking, that is some good stuff right there. That is good. I've been up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, just sitting there listening to the word being preached, thinking, I need to sleep. Huh? But you know what? It's working in you. It's working in you. I said it's working in you. Praise God. And so you got to meditate in the Word day and night. If you want to gain faith in God, trust in God, you need to meditate on who He is. In Joshua chapter 1, I don't think I'll probably get past this passage of Scriptures. It says in verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness into this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, into the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. You know, as I was just thinking about this particular passage of Scripture today and reading and thinking, and first of all, what did he say? He said, Moses is dead. In other words, he was the one he had been serving. He is the one, he was his mentor. I mean, here he is, and now it's on him. And listen to me, he watched Moses trust God, all that God did for Moses. And now God said, listen, he's dead, but now you're going to have to step up and you're going to have to take on the responsibility that he had. What is he telling Joshua? You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me to be able to accomplish what I have for you to do. And I'm telling every single one of us in here has something to do, and we're going to have to trust God to fulfill it. Every one of us. And so notice what he tells him. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, So I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Sounds like God wants him to trust him and to have faith in God. When he said, no man shall be able to stand against you, he wasn't saying you wasn't going to have opposition. He was saying they're not going to beat you. They're not going to destroy you. They're not going to conquer you. That's what he was telling Joshua. And where did I stop? In verse 6, he says, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Sounds a lot like he was talking about over there in Psalms chapter 1. In verse 8 it says, this book of the law, or we could say the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Sounds the same thing as what Psalms 1 said. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I like that, don't y'all? This is not just restricted or just for Joshua. He said, listen to me. He said, if you'll just not let this word depart out of your mouth. Listen, you'd almost think he was telling him, shut your mouth. But he wasn't telling him that. He said, don't stop letting it come out of your mouth. Just keep the word coming out of your mouth. Meditate it. Ponder it. Utter it. Mutter it. Day and night. And he said, and because when you do that, you're going to be prosperous and you're going to have good success, because obviously they can be bad success. He said, you're going to have good success if you'll meditate in the Word day and night. Is it important to have the Word of God on our mind? Very important. And so listen to me, because the devil, there's all kinds of other things trying to invade us. You ever notice that? We're living in one of the most invasive times of our lives, is trying to invade and get us to think on things. And actually, there's a lot of things going on that's trying to get us to approve of things that God disapproves of. And I'm telling you, we got to stay with the Word of God. We got to stay with God. If you want the blessing of God, you're going to have to stay with God. Amen. You're going to have to, we're going to have to stick to our guns and say, hold on, we're going to stay with God. That is not right. And, you know, even when things come against you, when you meditate in the Word of God and you've got a revelation of some things, just like if you've got a revelation of God's going to take care of you, He'll supply your day, He's Jehovah Jireh and all such as that, then when lack or something starts coming against you, you're going to say, this ain't right. I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to accept this in Jesus' name. And the same thing with healing. If you're pondering and meditating on the Word of God, and that's what we've been teaching on Sundays, then all of a sudden when something comes against you, you're going to say, this is not right. This is an invasion of my covenant or my rights to be healthy in my body and to be healed in Jesus' name. And when you start getting that on the inside of you, the next thing you know, you are going to stand against it and have God backing you up. Have I not commanded you, verse 9, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Y'all like that?
Yes.
Where's he going to be with us?
Everywhere.
That means he'll go do with you to Wally World. Huh? He'll go with you to your job. He'll ride in your car with you to your job. Huh? And then whatever you do will prosper. You know what I found out about God is, when they tell you they're not giving out raises, you'll be one that gets one. When they say they're not giving no promotions, you'll be one that gets one. Why? Because you're going to prosper. Everything you touch is going to prosper. And God's always trying to take you upward. He always wants to elevate you. He always wants to promote you. God is a promoter. Say it with me. God is a promoter. You know, don't ever get to the place where you think you're at the top of the line right now. Because there's always a step more. There's always a step more. Heard one person say, you know, you can flip burgers in McDonald's for long. If you believe God, you'll own it. You said, oh, I'd never do that. Well, that's the problem. You ain't meditating enough. You've been meditating on all the wrong things. You need to meditate on success. Now, what he told Joshua, he said, you're going to have success. Good success. I said, good success. Who's going to have it if you meditate in the Word? Keep it before you, coming out of your mouth, going into your ears. You know, here, you listen, you say, well, I really don't have time. I found out this. You can put the Word of God on any device you have. Any device. Isn't it amazing we're living in, who would have dreamed for some of us older folk, and I'm not that old, some of you young people, you just raised in this thing. Was it different than that? Listen, they used to not have cell phones when I was growing up. They didn't have a lot of stuff when I was growing up. And I don't know that it wasn't better. I mean, it was pretty nice when we just got out and played. Huh? We couldn't sit and look at a game all day long. We had to get out and play. We wanted to get out and play. And you talk about kids playing now. They say, what is that? Huh? Just sit there and look at that. But listen, thank God for the devices we have. Because now you can get the Word of God on anything. I got translations on my phone of the Bible, 20 or 30 on one deal. And I can go if I'm waiting somewhere. When I was going to chiropractor for, and I would sit there with my phone, I'd be reading the Word of God. I could read no telling how much before they even got me off that TENS unit. And I'd done read 3 or 4 or 5 chapters. I'd sit and get my oil changed in the car. I'll punch my phone up and read a book. I was sitting in a getting oil changed in the car and read the whole book of Ecclesiastes just sitting there on my phone. Isn't it wonderful? You can just sit there while they're all waiting on their car and looking at magazines and everything. I'm sitting, you can read the Word of God and renew your mind, meditating and pondering that Word of God. Amen? And so, you know, we are to seize every opportunity that we have. And listen, don't seize the moment. Seize the moment. Podcasts. You download stuff. It's amazing. I love it. And then you have Bibles. Well, I don't have it on my phone, but I have I have podcasts and everything else like that. Why? You know, God made this available. That technology is of God. Now, the devil uses it, but that's of God. Man, I tell you what, you can stick an earbud in your ear and you can jog or not. But you can definitely listen to the Word. Amen. I used to, when I did run, I used to run every day. And I used to get them headsets on, and I'd put me earplugs in, and I'd get on there, and I'd run. I'd run 5 or 6 miles, and I'd run and run. And I tell you what, you ain't gonna believe what I'm gonna tell you. But when I was listening to the Word of God, it was almost like I was energized the whole time. And I tried to run without it. It was like I'd play out about 3 miles. I was, oh my God, I can't make it through this hardly. But when you got that Word in there, you know what I believe is? I believe your mind is set on what you're hearing instead of what you're doing. And anybody ever experienced that? It said, man, you just get locked up in the Word of God. Next thing you know, why? Because the Word of God is an energizer. It energizes you. It builds you up. And it charges you. Praise God. You'd be like the little energizer rabbit, you know. I miss those commercials. And so the thing about it is we just keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. I'm going to read. Genesis 24:63. You don't have to turn there. The Amplified Bible says that Isaac went out to meditate and bowed down in prayer in the open country in the evening. And I started looking up different places where people meditated. He'd just go out and meditate in the open country. I wonder what he was meditating about. I think he was meditating about God. Meditating on the Word. Meditating on this covenant with God. And also meditating on the fact that he is about to get his wife. Rebecca was about to show up. Rachel. It was Rebecca, wasn't it? Rachel? It wasn't both. It was just one. Rebecca. I think it was Rebecca. Yeah. And so he was just out there meditating in the field. I may just have to go through these others next Wednesday night and kind of talk about it. Because listen, if we're going to build our faith in God, it's going to come through meditation. Hearing the Word of God. hearing. Let's not ever let the Word get old to us. Always have a desire for it. Always have a pleasure for it. Get books and read. I've been pulling out books, good Lord, that I've got. Of course, if you went in my office, you'd see I've got no telling how many books in there. And some of them I've read several times. Some of them I'm reading over again, just all kinds of stuff. And every now and then I give you a book you ought to read, or tell you a book that would be good for you to read. And anyway, I don't usually recommend them a whole lot, but I tell you what, when they'll impact your life, I'm gonna tell you a book you ought to give that'll help you. And that's The Spirit of Faith by Mark Hankins. I don't know if you have that. I don't know how many I have in there, but I got a bunch of them. But the thing about it is you got to know you have a spirit of faith. And that spirit of faith needs to be nurtured. And you need to meditate in the Word day and night, because if you're not, listen, I found this out, you're always going to be thinking about something. Might as well be the Word of God, and God can learn how to cast out. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you so much for the Word that liveth and abideth forever. God, we thank you that your Word never grows old, and we're never going to allow it to grow old to us. God, but every time we read or every time we hear the Word, it's fresh, it's new. God, it's reviving. It revives our hearts, our spirits, our souls, our minds, will, our emotions. God, we thank you for this Word even tonight. God, that we can get so connected to you that we don't allow anything else to pull us this way or that way. In fact, we can do like the Proverbs said and look straight ahead. God, that we won't pull to the right or to the left, but we'll look straight ahead. You said we got to keep the Word coming in and Word coming out. So, Father, we love you so much, and we thank you that we have the privilege of hearing the Word, and not just in church, riding down the road, sitting in waiting rooms, or wherever we might be, we have the privilege of hearing the Word of God. And we thank you for all the devices that you have made available to us to be able to hear it. We love you and thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.